Second Kings chapter 1, verse 1. Ahaziah is the son of Ahab who inherits the throne. Ahaziah is mentioned just briefly at the end of 1 Kings. We're told that he did evil in the sight of the Lord according to the ways of Ahab, Jezebel, and Jeroboam. So a triple evil example group there that he chooses to follow. And as 2 Kings commences, we see a little bit of the results of that in his life. 2 Kings 1:1. Moab rebelled against Israel after the death of Ahab. Now Ahaziah fell through the lattice of his upper room in Samaria and was injured, so he sent messengers and said to them, "Go inquire of Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron, whether I shall recover from this injury." But the angel of the Lord said to Elijah the Tishbite, "Arise, go up to meet the messengers of the king of Samaria and say to them, 'Is it because there is no god in Israel that you are going to inquire of Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron? Now therefore, thus says the Lord, you shall not come down from the bed to which you have gone up, but you shall surely die.'" So Elijah departed. And when the messengers returned to him, he said to them, "Why have you come back?" So they said to him, "A man came up to meet us and said to us, 'Go, return to the king who sent you, and say to him, thus says the Lord, is it because there is no god in Israel that you are sending to inquire of Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron? Therefore, you shall not come down from the dead to which you have gone up, but you shall surely die.' Then he said to them, 'What kind of man was it who came up to meet you and told you these words?' So they answered him, 'A hairy man wearing a leather belt around his waist.' He said, 'It is Elijah the Tishbite.' Then the king sent to him a captain of 50 with his 50 men. So he went up to him, and there he was sitting on the top of a hill. And he spoke to him, 'Man of God, the king has said, come down.' So Elijah answered and said to the captain of 50, 'If I am a man of God, then let fire come down from heaven and consume you and your 50 men.' And fire came down from heaven and consumed him and his 50. Then he sent to him another captain of 50 with his 50 men. And he answered and said to him, 'Man of God, thus has the king said, come down quickly.' So Elijah answered and said to them, 'If I am a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume you and your 50 men.' And the fire of God came down from heaven and consumed him and his 50. Again, he sent a third captain of 50 with his 50 men. And the third captain of 50 went up and came and fell on his knees before Elijah and pleaded with him and said to him, 'Man of God, please let my life and the life of these 50 servants of yours be precious in your sight. Look, fire has come down from heaven and burned up the first two captains of 50 with their 50. But let my life now be precious in your sight.' And the angel of the Lord said to Elijah, 'Go down with him. Do not be afraid of him.' So he arose and went down with him to the king. Then he said to him, 'Thus says the Lord, because you have sent messengers to inquire of Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron, is it because there is no god in Israel to inquire of his word? Therefore you shall not come down from the bed to which you have gone up, but you shall surely die.' So Ahaziah died according to the word of the Lord, which Elijah had spoken. Because he had no son, Jehoram became king in his place in the second year of Jehoram, the son of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah. And the rest of the acts of Ahaziah, which he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel?" Well, as we begin 2 Kings, things are not going well for Ahaziah at all. We start off with this realization that the kingdom is falling apart from under him. Moab has rebelled, and now he faces this injury, and he falls out of his bedroom window or some sort of balcony type thing around his bedroom, and it seems that he is very clear on the fact that God is sending judgment on him and his household. He already knew that by the word of the Lord. God had made that clear to Ahab. No doubt he would have heard of these prophecies from the mouths of the Lord's prophets about the future of the household of Ahab. But now he's watching these things take place in his life. The negative prophecies are happening right before his eyes now that he is king. And so following this injury and these difficulties in his life, he decides that he will avoid the word of the Lord and that he will sneak around and not listen to and get other expert opinions other than the voice of the Lord. And so off he sends his messengers. It seems pretty clear that he himself is in no position to travel, but he can send messengers on his behalf to go and hear from one of the Baals, in this case, Baal-zebub, which is kind of interesting, the connection between that and what Jesus is actually accused of being Baal-zebub. And so there's a connection there linguistically. And so off these messengers go to, off they go to Ekron. Now, in this regard, we see right away that Ahaziah has inherited some of the sin of his father. Remember, Ahab's attitude towards the messengers of God was, they always have bad things to say about me. I don't want to listen to him. He always says something bad about me. Well, it seems pretty clear that Ahaziah has a similar concern. Well, I'm not going to listen. They're going to say something bad about me. And this is the reality for the unbelieving mind, is it not? I don't want to hear God's answer. I don't want to have to think about judgment. I don't want to have to think about restrictions that God may place on me. And so I'm going to get my expert opinion elsewhere in the world. And you can think of ways and places where people go to seek knowledge and understanding about their situations. They can turn to astrology or fortune telling type things. They can turn their attention to doctors and try to accumulate doctors who will tell them the kinds of things that they want to hear, that you'll just be able to continue living, or these sorts of things. I don't want any doctors who will tell me anything negative. People turn to, sometimes people don't want to listen to the voice of the Lord, and so instead of, and they can't figure out where to turn in terms of voices that will be helpful, they just try to tune out the voice of the Lord. Things like drugs and alcohol, and I just won't listen. I can get myself to a different plane, a different place, and I don't have to think about these things. And obviously here, there's a first commandment issue, is there not? That Ahaziah is dealing with not wanting to serve, not wanting to know the Lord God, and so consequently, he is putting other gods, in this case, Baal-zebub, in front of the Lord God, having other gods before the Lord. And I think that's clear. What would motivate somebody to do that? Well, obviously people don't want to think about the commands of God. I want to keep going the way I'm going. I don't want to think about the ramifications of going the way I'm going. And so therefore I will avoid the Lord in that regard. I think often people already know the word of the Lord. For instance, Ahaziah knew the word of the Lord, did he not? He knew the judgment that he was faced with. And so his attitude is, well, that doesn't keep me from getting a second opinion. Well, it doesn't, but that doesn't really fix the matter at all. And it reminds us, his response here is a classic response when we're in sin. It's the response of, that we see in response to the very first sin. Is it not? What do Adam and Eve do? They go and hide. We don't want to be. We don't want to hear the voice of the Lord. We don't want to see the Lord. We don't want to be near to the Lord. And as we go forward, we're going to talk about how this doesn't need to. This is actually a passage of contrast for you if you're in Jesus Christ. But if your response to the word of the Lord is, well, I don't want to hear it, and yet you know that you're in Christ, one of the things you need to ask is, well, what sin is there that I'm hiding in my heart that I don't want to talk to the Lord about. That I already know that the Lord doesn't approve of this aspect of the way I'm living. And so, therefore, I'd rather not have communion with the Lord. That's what Ahaziah is doing here. He's sneaking around, trying to avoid the word of the Lord. But of course, the Lord will not be silenced, and that's the next thing. And in fact, probably really the emphasis of the passage over and over again. Is it because there's no God in Israel? Is it because there's no God here that you're sending your messengers? Is it because there's no God here that you won't listen to the Lord? And we hear that at least three times in this passage. And so God shows that there is indeed a God in Israel, and he does that a couple different ways. First of all, he sends Elijah out to meet these messengers. It reminds us of Ahab going up to take possession of the vineyard, thinking he's getting away with something. And even as he's going, God is sending his messenger to go and confront him there. Even as Ahaziah's messengers are slipping out to head for the land of the Philistines to get some sort of a hearing, some sort of a voice of Baal to bring back, God is directing his messenger, Elijah. And God, in essence, is saying here, you can try your various ways. You can seek your second opinion, but you will not lock me out. Because I will speak into my world, and people know this, right? God's word is written on people's hearts. People know what the Lord has to say and how he's created them. So God sends word via Elijah, and that word is not a favorable word. It is verse 4, you will die. And Elijah, verse 4, departs and goes his way. Now, it's fascinating because, verse 4, the Elijah departed, that actually takes place where? That takes place in Elijah's home. Elijah departs from his home. Now, we aren't told a thing about the discussion that takes place between Elijah and Ahaziah's messenger. But we can surmise some things. First of all, Elijah, both by his persona and his authority, makes very clear to these messengers who's really the boss. And it's not Elijah. It's the Lord. These messengers have a task from the king. You go do this. And they get back to the palace way faster than they possibly physically could have made it. So they are like, well, what are you doing back? Now, did you figure out some form of time travel? What is this? How did you get back so quickly? Well, don't worry. We didn't have to go all the way to Philistia to get an answer. We met a man here who gave us the answer to your question. Oh, really? Well, what kind of man was it? Well, he tells them, they give the message to Ahaziah. Is it because there's no God in Israel? Is this why you're sending messengers out? Well, you're going to die. Oh, well, what kind of man was this? And you get the sense that it's the type of question that is asked sometimes when the answer is already known. When you're already perfectly clear on what the answer is, and yet you ask him, what kind of man was this? Well, it's some sort of a hairy man with a leather belt around his waist. It's not a real detailed description, is it? But nevertheless, there's no confusion. I know exactly who it is, Elijah the Tishbite. Well, Ahaziah therefore repents and backs down, right? No. He's going to show who's in charge in Israel. Oh, yeah? Well, God thinks he's in charge. Elijah thinks that he's speaking for somebody who's in charge. Well, really, I'm in charge. And so he calls a group of a captain with his 50 men and sends them out. And sends them out to go and round up this Tishbite. Go, here's the address. You go bring it in. So off they go. And this isn't as clear in the English, but there's a real note in verse 9 in the Hebrew, a real note of authority. In essence, the king says to you, come down from it. You know, the king is the boss here. You get down here. And so there's a challenge to the authority of Elijah and to God that's carried in the Hebrew that's not as obvious here. And Elijah responds, of course, with this statement, well, if I am a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume you and your 50 men. And fire comes down and consumes these 51 men. Well, captain number 2 is sent out, and I don't know if Ahaziah just got impatient. You know, it's taken too long for them to come back, or word had come from the, you know, surrounding village, you know, back to the capital that there is a fire from heaven. Well, he sends out group number 2. Same thing, only this captain, notice, emphasizes the quickly. Okay? And that also stands out in the Hebrew. You can see this one a little bit more in the English. But it's, you know, get down here now. Come on. Come on. We're in charge. You're on our time frame, Elijah. Once again, Elijah calls for fire from heaven, and the Lord responds. Now, remember, fire from heaven, and Elijah, and this family that Ahaziah is a part of are not, you know, they are not new acquaintances. This has happened before, has it not? In Mount Carmel, God has shown that there is a God in Israel. God is reasserting the fact that I already showed you, I've already demonstrated that there is a God in Israel. And I am that God, and I am the same God who showed up on Mount Carmel and defeated Baal and Baal's prophets. Now, we might wrestle a little bit with this and saying, well, these poor soldiers, you know, they're just commanded to go out. But notice, there is influence on the part of the captains, first of all, and At a minimum, we are taught here that there is culpability, even for foot soldiers, in an unjust, inappropriate carrying out of warfare or laws or missions, that even the foot soldiers are held accountable by battle. That none of us can take a pass and say, at any point in our lives, and say, well, my boss told me to do this. You know, my boss told me to falsify the records. My boss told me to, you know, do this immoral thing. Well, too bad. We're each accountable to the Lord to do what's right. Ultimately, the concern of the passage is that God is asserting that He is in control. Now, what happens to Ahaziah? Well, Ahaziah will not listen to the word of the Lord. And because he won't listen to the word of the Lord, he is stuck, and his life is stuck in reverse. Ahaziah spends 2 years as king. Now, in Hebrew chronology, that could be anywhere from 13 months to, say, somewhere around 30 or so months. You know, but he's king for roughly 2 years. And in his 2 years as king, he suffers only from what we know reverses. Politically, the kingdom is in reverse. Some of the outlying areas have seen an opportunity to rebel and to break away on their own. Moab is breaking away. So politically, the nation is not going forward, it's going backwards. Spiritually, the guy is obviously stuck in reverse. And personally as well. We aren't given all the details about this fall through the lattice, or through a screen of some sort in the upper windows. But it's hard not to speculate at least a little and to say, I said, well, you know, this is the sort of thing that happens primarily to, like in this town, if you think about who falls through lattice, it's things that happen to, like, 7-year-old boys and drunkards, right? This is when we would read of people falling out, you know, window things like this. Maybe on occasion, you know, somebody's roughhousing and, you know, they get carried away. One guy shoves another guy too hard and he goes flying out the patio door. But it doesn't say good things about Ahaziah. It's not the type of thing that you just say, you know, oh, cancer, that could happen to anybody, right? It's kind of an accident of stupidity, at least generally, in our experience with falling through the window. So he's secondly versed in that way, and he's going to die of this fall. In addition, we see, verse 17, that personally he's stuck in reverse, and that he dies without a son. And so we're left with this fascinating situation, where the king of the northern kingdom and the southern has the exact same name. And we'll have to sort that out as we go further along. But what we have here is a guy who's flipping because he won't listen to the Lord. And how many times is the Lord willing to be merciful and gracious and extend the life of Ahab out? And yet, his son, even in spite of knowing that about the Lord and seeing that example from his dad, won't in any way bow the knee to the Lord. I'll just take this on my own. It's his attitude. And it really points us in a broader sense in the scripture to Romans 1. Where not listening to the Lord never leads some, it doesn't leave people in a state of neutrality. It leads people slipping down the slope of sin and misery in this life. This is Ahaziah. And for each of you who have been exposed to the word of the Lord and the covenant promises and demands of the scripture, there's an important reminder here that you can choose to plug your ears to the word of the Lord. You can choose to have other experts in your life, be they Beelzebub, you know, be it other, you know, self-help books, whatever you want it to be. You can choose to go that way. But your life will be stuck in reverse. And you'll have to deal with consequences, just like Ahaziah suffered consequences. So that's a lesson from this passage. But it seems clear that the key teaching for us from 2 Kings 1 is a teaching of contrast. It's a teaching of, here's a covenant breaker. Here's someone who had access to the word of the Lord who would not listen to the Lord, was stuck in reverse, was stuck facing the judgment of God on his own. And in Jesus Christ, you don't have to be this person. In Jesus Christ, you have the opportunity to hear and respond favorably to the word of the Lord. In fact, you don't have any reason to fear the word of the Lord. And there's actually an invitation here in essence in the third captain, is there not? And in the fact that the third captain has been on the exact same mission and yet finds grace and favor in his willingness to repent and to beg for mercy, to plead for mercy. Even in this passage, God is offering hope to the nation of Israel. You don't have to go the way of Ahaziah. You too can find salvation. And the good news in particular for us is that unlike Ahaziah, we in Jesus Christ do not have to be afraid of the word of the Lord. In fact, the word of the Lord is a blessing, and we want the Lord to speak into our lives. Because in Christ, we know that even if the word of the Lord brings a rebuke to you, that the Lord's correcting something in my life that needs to be corrected, and that I'm really better off not having in my life. That if the word of the Lord calls me to something really difficult, it's really painful for me, that I have to give up some things that I really like and don't want to give up, but ultimately I know that it's for my good. Why? Because in Christ, my relationship with the Heavenly Father is not a relationship of enmity at all. It's a relationship of love. And when He speaks and calls me to things and rebukes me for things, it's for my good. And so 2 Kings 1 is really a passage that urges you to not run from the voice of your Father. That when God speaks, to embrace that instead of running from it, to run to it. God, I want to hear you. Is the mindset of the believer. And it's the mindset of the believer because of what God has done for us. And that whether I'm on my deathbed like Ahaziah or wherever I am, speak, Lord, because I am listening. I want to hear what you have to say to me. I don't want to face even the little situations in my life, much less the big ones like Ahaziah was faced with, without hearing from the Lord. I want to know what you have to say to me, Lord. And so it's a passage that encourages us to respond to God, not like Ahaziah did, but instead to respond as sons and daughters of the Heavenly Father. And here's the encouragement as well. Not only do we have access to the voice of the Lord, not only is it the voice of comfort to us, but as we see ourselves wanting to hear the voice of the Lord in our lives, that's a sign of sonship. Right? Ahaziah's very action demonstrates that he does not know the Lord. His desire to sneak around and avoid the word of the Lord demonstrates that he's not a son of the King of Kings. He's not a son of the Father in heaven. But when God gives us hearts to say, you know, I want to hear the word of the Lord, not only when it's comfortable for me, but even when it's going to be uncomfortable for me, even when it's going to be challenging to me, I want to hear what God has to say. That's something that we can look at and say, this is a sign that God is, in fact, at work in my life, and that I'm a son or daughter of His. Why? Because otherwise I would want to be just like Ahaziah, and go sneaking around, pretending like there is no God in Israel, when in fact there is one. So brothers and sisters, may we, as God's people, not shrink from hearing the voice of the Lord, not hide from hearing the voice of the Lord, but instead strive to hear the voice of the Lord. And our assurance as we do that is that we are, in fact, His sons and His daughters. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the negative example of Ahaziah and how it reminds us, Lord, that our relationship with you is not like the relationship of Ahaziah was with you, but our relationship with you is as sons and daughters and as those who want to hear your voice. Lord, give us ears to hear, give us hearts to obey. And Lord, in this way, just in one other way, just confirm for us and give us assurance of our relationship with you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.